This is North Shore Today. Hi, everyone. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Our guest from Josh Arnold's Trending Now is Dick Moody from Operation Support the Troops.
And what a lot of people don't know is that the Cape Ann area of the country is the most populated with veterans of any place in the country. And because of that, mainly because of the old merchant marinas, and because of that, the help that we get out of the Cape Ann area is wonderful.
Dick Moody from Trending Now with Josh Arnold right here on North Shore Today. Well, Rick, here we are on a Monday, starting a week which has a Veterans Day holiday smack dab in the middle of it. And I guess that's very appropriate that we'll be hearing from Dick Moody in this program, but a lot of other Veterans Day activities, I think, happening this week. We can talk about some of those a little bit later on in the week, I think. But it's Monday, and so here we are, inching closer to the end of the football season, and kind of an exciting weekend this past weekend. We'll talk about that at some point as well. And I'm looking at some of the stories in the newspapers, and the Lynn Item has a story on this being November 9th today, the 50th anniversary of the blackout, the big East Coast blackout. And
Great Northeast blackout, yeah.
Yeah, this was, and for some of our younger listeners that don't know about that, I hope I have this right, but it happened in the Northeast back in 1965, and it covered a pretty good swath of the Eastern Seaboard, I guess, and out to Michigan, right? It went out quite a ways, if I'm not mistaken, but I may be wrong on that.
No, I think it was pretty big, and up in Canada, too, I think. I can't remember, but it was gigantic. I know that.
But, you know, it wasn't for a lot of hours. It was by power outages. I mean, you have storms and power outages, but it was out for maybe like 10 hours or something like that. But anyways, there's a number of different stories in the Item. Steve Krause put some stories together. I think some of the other staff did as well with some memories of that. And now, I mean, you know, there were no computers back then for being used by folks at home, and no wireless internet things to disrupt the kids coming home from school to do their homework and stuff like that. Hey, I couldn't get online last night. I can't do my homework. Stuff like that. But anyways, there was it's the 50th anniversary of that. That's amazing. 50 years since then.
Yeah, and as I recall, it happened around 9 o'clock in the evening, I think, somewhere around there. So it wasn't that inconvenient a time for people who were at work, like people getting stuck in elevators and on, you know, trains and stuff like that. But I do remember I was working at a local pharmacy. I was a senior in high school, and I do remember everything going dark and how weird it was, and then realizing the scope of the magnitude of the thing the next day and how big it was. Also, there was a huge birth rate 9 months later to the day.
Yeah, I guess so. This one woman recalls making dinner by candlelight in that, so I'm not exactly sure when it happened. But I can imagine at this time of year, and I guess it could be a little cool outside and so on. But the night the lights went out, and so they anyways, there's a number of different stories about that and in the Items. And the front page of the Item is all black, basically, as in the blackout. I guess
it, is that right?
Yeah. So. To take another look at that page just for a second here while we go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, I just tested our brand new 6500 kilowatt generator over the weekend, and it works nice, and it's all wired up to the house, so that hopefully will mean that we won't have to ever use it. So it's good to have that kind of device available. I know when I was in the service, you know, we had the generators for the officer's tent and so on. We had those suckers, which is the same thing we had now, but they were not affordable. And the prices have come down so much now that you can have them in individual homes. So it's pretty amazing that where the technology has gone so far. And that something like a house generator, I mean, you can't run the whole house all at once, but that a generator like that, you know, which runs for about 8 to 10 hours on 7 gallons of gas, will keep your fan going for your furnace. It'll keep that going if it's electronic. If you need to keep your refrigerator on or put it on, it'll keep that going, and you can have a light on sort of on each in each room if you need to. So that's pretty amazing when you consider, again, how expensive they were back then and the affordability of them now.
So you have to like bring the gas cans, fill them up, and then bring them and fill up your generator then. That's how that would work, right? Something like that.
Yeah, there's two kinds. There is the gasoline-operated generator, and then there is the propane gas-operated generator. You can buy either one. Excuse me. And each has its advantages and disadvantages. So I wouldn't try to even recommend one. You just have to look it up and decide what you want. But they have these 5-gallon gas cans. You can buy plastic gas cans, and so you just get a couple of those, keep it full, put some some gas treatment in it, and you're pretty much good to go. And the thing cranks right up. It's noisy, but not as noisy as the old generators were. So, you know, you live in a neighborhood, and I would expect that the neighbors will understand, especially since they could run an extension cord off it if they needed to. So, you know, it's pretty cool and pretty amazing to me. And, of course, superstition. I'm knocking on wood here and hoping I never have to use it. And I'll tell you, to have the whole house wired, or I have it wired to the generator and so on, have everything that you need to have done, plus the cost of the generator, and it all comes in under $2,000.
Wow. That's not bad. You know, I'm struck by, I remember in our years, Rick, at WESX, you think of all the coastal storms that we had, and they never had a generator. They did not have a generator. And the number of times that power actually went out there, I think, was just a handful for the most part, and briefly. I mean, some of the things that, some of the power companies do a really good job, and the systems are pretty well tested in some areas. So now I'm just jinxing myself here big time by just doing the opposite of what you're doing in a much more dangerous way. But it is amazing how in my instances, I've noticed that the power does not go out. But I know that can vary from, you know, community to community. And sometimes the more rural you are, you know, that with the ice storms and so on, that's where you have a lot of your power outages and so on. So anyway,
I'm sorry, Bill.
No, go ahead.
Well, the only thing I would caution, and people have to remember, is that if you do get a generator, make sure you run it outside. Don't run it inside. Don't run it in your garage. Run it outside, because there was that tragedy, I think it was back in the spring, of those four kids from the area. They were young, two couples of young adults who didn't do that, and it was a very tragic ending up country. So make sure, if you do have a generator or anything like that, you know, I know some people even have little gas stoves with propane gas that they try to run inside the house. You can't do that, boys and girls. Carbon monoxide. So get those suckers outside.
Yeah, I got it. Okay. All right, and again, we got the Veterans Day holiday coming up this week, and looks like we're again weather-wise off to a spectacular start to this second full week of November. I guess it is full week of November, and on the 9th of November. Rick, anything else to discuss before we go to our guest Dick Moody?
Just a couple of things. In the Times today, the Gloucester Times, there is an article about the guest speaker for Veterans Day, and Sergeant Vionette Ciparini, who was born in Caguas, Puerto Rico, and raised in Camden, New Jersey, is now a Gloucester resident and married to a Gloucester police officer, and she'll be delivering the Veterans Day address at Gloucester High School's Fieldhouse in ceremonies that kick off at 9 a.m. And the ceremonies include a parade of at the Joan of Arc statue outside the Lester S. Wass American Legion Post. And it's just one of a series of events on Cape Ann. We can get into that a little bit more tomorrow. The Gloucester program is time for ceremonies at 11 a.m. to mark the 11th hour of the 11th day in the 11th month. And that is the precise time of the signing of the original armistice that brought an end to World War I. And, of course, kids won't remember that this used to be called Armistice Day, and it has been changed to Veterans Day in honor of all those who have done their duty and served their country. Interesting little footnote, Bill. I was watching something, maybe on a football game today, honoring veterans, and the difference in, I don't want to say rhetoric, but in how you describe this. In my day, it was called doing your duty. We did what we were supposed to do. Today, as a result, I think, of the original Gulf War back in 91, and then, of course, 9/11, it's called serving your country. And, you know, it's appropriate, and of course the difference is, when I was in the service, there was a draft. Today it's an all-volunteer thing, so you choose to serve your country. So an appropriate manner of speech. And I also will be visiting with Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt today, who won the election in Peabody to serve his second term as mayor. He ran unopposed, but he did run a campaign. And he went door to door meeting people throughout the campaign. And I'm going to try to talk to him, Bill, about, you know, the makeup of the new city council in Peabody.
And he's growing that beard as a fundraiser, too. I don't have the specifics in front of me here, but check out the beard when you see him today, Rick.
And, yeah. Gloucester Police Department was doing that also. That is a fundraiser for Special Olympics in the Gloucester Police Department. They do a lot for Special Olympics. So, yeah, I'll check out the beard and have a comment on it, maybe a little video.
The other thing, going back to what we just talked about, sure enough here, National Grid, we're talking about electricity, is requesting an increase in its rates for its service that would cost residential customers about $9 more a month. Now, I thought they just went up a little bit, like 5-6 months ago, and now they're going up again here. The Globe reports that if the increase is approved, the average National Grid household that uses 600 kilowatt hours of electricity per month would pay 7% more in each bill. All right, so
isn't that special?
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. So maybe that generator's not a bad idea. Maybe it's not a bad idea if the power goes off from time to time, huh?
But well, yeah, except you know that gasoline prices inevitably and invariably will be going back up again. I priced cordwood the other day, and I guess I should have bought it back in the spring or the summertime, and good heavens, I'm not sure I'm going to be buying any cordwood this year.
Wow, yeah. All right, so what we'll do is we'll take a quick break. We have Dick Moody coming with us from the Josh Arnold Trending Now show, which is on Friday mornings at 10 o'clock here on MSONewsSports.com. Then we'll be back. We'll talk some sports, including a huge Danvers football win this past weekend against Tewksbury. So stay with us. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell on North Shore Today.
Welcome back now to Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Our next guest is Dick Moody from Danvers in Operation Support the Troops. Dick, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Josh.
Well, we ask folks to tell us a little bit about themselves, and we'd ask you to do that, and how you got involved with the process providing support to the men and women deployed around the world in the United States military.
Okay, I'd be happy to. I'm a 23-year veteran of the United States Air Force, and served in Vietnam and served in Desert Storm. And during Iraqi freedom, my son and my daughter were over in Iraq, and my daughter called home one night, and since she was a combat medic, she asked if we could, my wife and I could, send some packages over there to help the recovering soldiers by the way, their time after the pain of the surgery. And so we started that. That was in 2003. And being in Desert Storm, which was a 49-day period, I figured this isn't going to last too long. And 13 years later, we're still going strong. So that's how it started. And along the way, we have picked up hundreds of volunteers from pretty much all over the country. And we're still going very strong today.
Tell us about what it is you do. I know that I reached you through Lucia Ramiro, who works at the Veterans Office in Gloucester, and the Gloucester Rotary Club, for example, 5 years ago when I was president, we started giving money to support the shipping of gifts that went to the troops deployed from Cape Ann that are in the service. Yours isn't geographically limited, but tell us about what the care packages are, where you get the stuff, how that all comes together.
Okay, I'd be happy to. One of the things I'd like to mention that my association with Lucia goes back quite a ways. The Gloucester Veterans Office has been tremendous in assisting us and supporting the troops. And what a lot of people don't know is that the Cape Ann area of the country is the most populated with veterans of any place in the country. And because of that, mainly because of the old merchant marinas, and because of that, the help that we get out of the Cape Ann area is wonderful. We send weekly care packages. It actually works out to daily care packages, totaling about 150 to 200 boxes every week to all across the globe, but mainly it's the combat support, combat areas, and the combat support hospital. And these are our care packages that are loaded down with non-perishable food, with socks, with toiletries, with T-shirts, things that the soldiers can use. We don't ever mix the food with the toiletries because we don't want anything to pick up the smell of an Irish Spring, for example. But that's what we do, and we've sent close to 500,000 boxes over since we started.
That's great. And the items that people contribute, what does that include?
Mainly, we ask for two different types of items. First is the food items. And the food items are things that would be, as I mentioned earlier, non-perishable, nuts, pretzels, things like that they could snack on, and also things that you could pick up in the store, like the six packs of applesauce or fruits or things like that that don't need refrigeration. And that way they have something that they can open up and eat, you know, when they get hungry. And I could talk a little bit about how they're getting fed over there now, and you'll see why those things are very much appreciated. Of course, they love the old standbys of beef jerky, things like that. We send potato chips and probably all the things that that Mama will say is not very good for you, but on the other hand, when you're on the battlefield, they need something to take their mind off what they're doing. And this time of year, the Halloween candy is very, very popular. We get bags and boxes of Halloween candy that the children haven't used, and we ship them over there, and they just love it. So that's the food part. The toiletries, we look for the individual sizes of shampoos, of toilet, of course, toilet paper, Kleenex, toothpaste, toothbrushes, things that they just can't walk into a CVS and pick up. This is how they get them.
Great. What now you mentioned that you send to all around the world. Who does this? Who do you have a group? Do you meet? How does that work?
What we usually do is we try to schedule one public packing per month, and we usually hold it at the VFW Hall in downtown Danvers. And the next packing event that we have is on the 21st of November at 10 a.m. And people come, and we get so much stuff during the week that we separate them into boxes, and then we bring them down to the public pack. And the public comes in. It's free. It's a chance to help the soldiers out. And we have a kind of a Congo line set up so that they can go ahead, and we give them empty boxes, and they fill them up, and then we address them and send them off that same day. During the monthly packaging events, we do it right out of my home, and we have several volunteers that come by and basically help us pack it up as well.
Great. And if folks want to donate to your organization, how would they do that?
If the first thing I would say is go to our website or Facebook. Our website is www.operationtroopsupport.org, O-R-G, not com. OperationTroopSupport.org, and you'll see the list of items that we typically send overseas. It tells where to drop them off, and if they have a particularly large amount of donations, if they call, we'll see if we can get over there and pick them up. So that's the best way to communicate with us. And also, if they would like to help us actually package up the gifts, things like that, then again, go on the website. There's an email address. Send us an email and tell us, you know, how you would like to help, and we'll put you to work.
I'm sure the packages that you put together and send off are delivered. What do you get in the way of responses from folks that are deployed in terms of expressing appreciation and tell us?
Well,
about
you
that.
Know, I wish that everybody had the opportunity to read the notes that come back to us. They're heartwarming. Right now, in many cases of Afghanistan, many places, they're down to one meal a day, and the rest of the day they provide, the military provides the MREs, which is the meals ready to eat. They're like the old K rations or C rations you might have heard in the earlier wars. And these are very, very nutritious, and depending on what your taste buds allow, they may or may not be very, very good to eat. You know, some of them are kind of bland, and other times it's really not all that bad. But that's that gets old after a while, eating the same things every day. So the one meal that they do get is a hot meal, and when they get things from groups in the States that contain, you know, things that they don't ordinarily get, it's such a big thing to them that they will sit down and write. And some of the letters that we've gotten back are very, very heartwarming. And they basically tell us, you know, without you, I don't know what we would do. So it does us well, and I wish everybody could get that feedback.
Great. What are the other kinds of things? I know phone cards and other items are particularly helpful. Some clothing items.
We do encourage people to give us phone cards. The only thing that we ask on the phone cards is that make sure that they are good from an overseas location. AT&T are usually pretty good. A lot of phone cards, they say that they're good for 120 minutes, say, and because it's overseas, they cut it down by like by half, so you don't get the full value of the card when you get it. So that would be the first question I would ask, or at least I would read. But I will tell you, they do appreciate those, and the guys that appreciate them the most are when they redeploy back to the States. They have a way to call home and say, "Hey, Mom, I'm back home," without having to either call collect or waste their money. So they're very valuable. And so in addition to the phone cards and the other things that I mentioned earlier, they're in desperate need of socks. They have no place to get socks over there. And because they're in a boot all the time, they're walking all the time, the socks go by pretty quickly. And they're asking us to send white socks whenever we can. And so that's something that's really precious to them.
And I see here, looking from a list, cards, decks of cards, paperback books, magazines, crossword puzzles, pens, pencils, notepads, all that stuff.
Right, and, you know, when they finally do have some time off, they need something to get their mind adjusted to something else. The word puzzle books, the Sudoku books, the crossword puzzles, any kind of little puzzle that... Rubik's cubes, you know, things like that. It occupies their time. They love paperback books, as long as they're in pretty good shape. I would refrain from sending them puzzles to put together, like jigsaw puzzles, because some of them, we can't take the time to see that if all the pieces are there, and they don't have the time to really set them up. But things that they can do, like playing cards, those are a real big treat to them.
Great. And now, is there a big push coming up to get stuff ready so that they'll have something to open during the holidays in anticipation of the Christmas season?
Yes, this is our busiest time of the year. Although we send over care packages every day, the Christmas season demands that we put together Christmas gifts. And that's what we do. And it's not just one gift. We usually put in a gallon Ziploc bag, several things that will fit in there, a pair of socks, a CD or a DVD, because most of the places have that capability. We'll put, notepads for the, especially for the girls. We have very pretty notepads. We give them writing utensils. But what we do, we give them basically like a Christmas stocking. We wrap it up in a Ziploc bag to make sure that any spillage doesn't ruin them. And then we invite the public to do a public wrapping event. And we bring the paper, the tape, the scissors, the tags, and the gifts. And the public comes in and actually wraps the gifts. And then we send them out. And that's what we'll be doing on November the 21st. We'll be sending out the gifts to Afghanistan, Iraq, Kuwait. And that's what we do. The next time we have a public wrapping event for Christmas will be tomorrow, and we're going down to the Chelsea Soldiers Home to have the soldiers down there, the veterans down there, wrap gifts for the troops, and they just love that.
Now you can't give names out, correct? Or
at any one time we have about 700 or 800 names of soldiers. We do not send just to any soldier. In the past, they would return the boxes if they couldn't find a soldier to give it to. So we actually get the names, and we get them either through the soldiers themselves, because every time we send a care package, we put an envelope with a pen and a form in there, and of course it's free coming back to the States. If you would like to receive gifts or packages, sign this, give us your address, and send it back. And also parents, grandparents, spouses, they come to us either by phone or by email and give us an address of a loved one that's over there. That's how we get our mailing list. And we send out probably around 700 to 800 soldiers or sailors, and we go to the aircraft carriers, we go to the air bases. And when they get the packages, when I send Christmas gifts out, they're getting a box of about 20 or 30 gifts, and they can share them with the people that haven't communicated with us directly.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold. And again, if folks want to help out Operation Troop Support, they can call Dick and Christine Moody at 978-774-5983 or log on to www.operationtroopsupport.org. Again, thank
That's
you for
right.
being part of our show.
Also, friend us on Facebook, and you'll get a lot more information with pictures of exactly what we do.
Great. Thank you very much, Dick.
Okay, Josh. Thanks for the opportunity to talk.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, welcome back to North Shore Today, along with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell, and this is our last segment of the program, usually our sports segment. And this past weekend, we saw our Friday night broadcast, Everett come from behind to stun Peabody. It seems like that was a long time ago, but it was just Friday night. And that was a tough one for Peabody to take. But also on Saturday, probably one of the biggest upsets involving the North Shore football team, Danvers High Football defeated Tewksbury, and that game played at Lowell, and that was a Saturday afternoon game, a one-point victory for Danvers High School. Congratulations to them. That means they go on and play Marblehead. Marblehead was a winner on Friday night, and so the big football game there would be Friday night. Danvers at Marblehead, a rematch. The two teams went into overtime earlier this year, and the other game, I guess, of playoff interest, St. Mary's beating up pretty badly on Bishop Fenwick Friday night, and they're playing host to a game on Friday night at Manning Field.
Bill, it was inevitable, or I guess it's finally happened that a Northeast Conference team has beaten Tewksbury, because we go back a few years, Tewksbury beat Gloucester in the playoffs, then they beat Marblehead in the playoffs, and I'm not sure if it goes back 4 years, but finally Danvers comes through for the Northeastern Conference and knocks off Tewksbury. So, you know, the end of the playoffs coming up on Friday night, that's too bad. We'll have one representative, at least we will have one representative into the Division III final. So there's one more game before you decide who goes to Foxborough, isn't there?
No, I think this is it, isn't it? This would be it. There must be
really?
One more, you're right. No.
I'm not sure, I don't know. We got to figure that out.
I don't have my calendar in front of me.
Yeah. Well, if this is it, then we're going to Foxborough. I mean, it'll either be Danvers or Marblehead, but certainly congratulations to both of those schools on terrific seasons to this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to mention, we're going to have Coach E.J. Perry of Andover. Now, I know Andover is a little bit outside our area, you know, that we cover in detail, but we have made contact with Andover from time to time, going back to when they used to play Gloucester a few years ago, and we talk with Coach Perry at least once a year, and we've had him on already once this season. They lost another tough game to Central Catholic. Central Catholic is their nemesis, of course, but it was a high-scoring game, and I guess they lost by a couple of points. But the amazing thing is that Coach Perry's son, EJ Jr., had over 600 yards passing. So I do want to. We're going to be talking with Coach Perry about the heartbreaking loss, but about the amazing accomplishment that his son pulled off too.
Now, does his son play for Andover or Central Catholic?
I believe it's Andover.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I skimmed a story very quickly online, and I was thinking, and maybe it was again. Skimming is the key, an operative word here. I thought it was like his son was playing for Central Catholic. So, you know, that would be kind of a surprise, but it's possible, obviously, up in that area. But anyway, that's...
Well, I'm pretty sure when we talked to him earlier this year, I'm pretty sure EJ was his quarterback.
No, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure I'm wrong. But pretty sure on that point. But anyway, yeah. But the way I had read that story, I thought, you know, because it kind of, my little question mark in my little head, my imaginary question mark went up, like, that's interesting. But there you go.
Well, over... over 1,000 yards of offense in that game. So I'm hoping that Coach Perry will not be too pained in looking back at it, but certainly very proud of his son's accomplishments, no matter who he plays for.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about Danvers and Tewksbury was Danvers has just not scored a lot of points. And, in fact, Coach Terrio, you know, we were talking with Coach Terrio, and, you know, they've won these playoff games. Like, they won one, I think, 7-0. They've, you know, I think they scored two touchdowns and another one in that other, in the first game, and then they scored two touchdowns on Saturday and still won. Won by a point, and so they've, you know, they haven't scored a lot of points, but here they are, bang, right back into the, back, you know, one, winning their first playoff game.
Yeah, well, that's true, and they've they've had great defense all year long, and we did the Beverly game, and they were tremendous in that one, holding Beverly to 7 points. I just want to mention that E.J. Perry, the younger, is on Huddle, HUDL.com. Huddle is all the rage now. It's got all the videos and highlights. EJ is only a junior, so his highlights are on there, and they've already got him posted from the Saturday game versus Central Catholic. So the highlights are up there already. But he's a junior. Well, no, it says 2017. It says junior, but
yeah, well, that's right, 2017. It's 16. You're
a
senior.
Right. You're
six,
right.
It's,
yep.
You're
right.
This is
I'm ahead
2050.
Of myself. So yeah, there you go. Yeah. So he is only a junior. So fantastic accomplishment by EJ Perry.
All right. Well, on that note, why don't we stop? We'll be back. We'll be announcing our playoff broadcast plans as well in the next 24 hours or so or less, and we'll keep folks posted on that. But I'm sure we're going to have some kind of coverage of the Marblehead Danvers game, and we'll keep you posted on that in the next day or so. So take a look, keep checking back on the website for that. And again, with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for being with us on this Monday. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.